All right, Gary, what do we play this week?
Okay. As you know, if you have a panel of buttons, if you press one of them, something unrelated happens.
You know, nothing is connected to anything.
Yeah, it's a post-causality. As Todd McFarlane said, do you believe in cause and effect? If you push a glass off a table and it falls, do you believe that you caused that? Spawn does. So we learned about this in previous things. And we don't do what Spawny Don't does. Mm. We don't believe in that. So no. I just have this big panel of buttons here. You're going to push one and a game's going to pop out of nothing.
Okay.
Nothing matters about anything.
Okay. Let me just, this one looks convenient to push. Let me hit this.
Yeah. Oh, God.
Yep.
Yeah, that one made me vomit. Yep. No game there.
Up a game.
Oh, wait. Oh, shit. Yeah. That's why that hurt a lot.
Yeah.
Oh. It says panic.
Yeah.
Huh. What if that was wrong the whole time?
Yeah, what if it was wrong the whole time? Ugh.
Hmm.
My name is Gary Butterfield, he, him.
My name is Kay Ross, she, her.
You're listening to Abject Suffering, your number one source for video game reviews, and your number four source for obscure Simpsons references.
And this week, this is a game called Panic that we're talking about. This one just came up from the randomizer. It was put in by a few people, actually. We have Sam, we have Andrew, we have Gerald, we have Zeltus, we have Boar.
Yeah, we do. Zendaya is Michi. Boar and Zeltus. When Boar and Zeltus get on the same page, you know you're in for some fun.
And people are generally neutral to positive about this.
Yeah, I've been thinking a lot lately about sorry, I'm adjusting my mic here, make an important point. Being, you know, a stick in the mud. You know, like having a reputation for such. Not that I care about that reputation, but there is a powerful alienation feeling that comes sometimes when you're like, everyone likes a thing and you're just like, this sucks.
Yeah.
I just need to find a couple people who think it sucks that I feel okay. But if I can't, it's a genuine like bad feeling.
Right, you know? Right.
And like, this sucks. I understand why it would have been cool if you stumbled upon it at the time it came out.
Yes. I can also see being really, really upset if you bought this thinking it was going to be a video game and found out it was a mouse trainer.
It's the manhole, but worse.
Yeah.
It's the manhole with wacky replacing surrealism.
Yes.
Like, there is a little bit of surrealism, but it's just like wacky. You know, what if Shiva had feet instead of arms? You know, and is that question worth asking? No, because we can all imagine it and we've seen it. It's not funny. It's not a funny image. It's not a funny idea. I don't know why this. I don't understand the artistic justification for this.
Yeah, this feels a little bit like a Wacky Worlds in terms of like we needed something in order to justify for people like to that they could use the Sega CD mouse on or the Sega Mega Mouse. I think this is one of the things that they land on. But as far as I know, this was a full priced product.
There were point and click adventures on the Sega CD,
I know, right?
That you might want to use a mouse on. If only one of the most famous point and click adventures for consoles of all time was on the Sega CD.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah. So when I say mouse trainer, do you think people know what I'm referring to anymore?
No.
I have like a sense memory just embedded deep inside me of like when you would go to like a Circuit City, some of the computers would have up like a program that was just like Undersea Life. And you would use the mouse and you would click on a fish and it would do some bubbles and then move behind some coral. And that was it. And this was to explain to people that you could use a mouse to point at something and then effectuate a change with it.
Yeah. The mouse trainer that most people I feel would maybe be more familiar with, at least from my age cohort, is the fly swatting game in Mario Paint.
Yes.
That's a mouse trainer.
Yeah. Yeah. So like not much of anything. And for this team, which was just Sega, like this is just a team within Sega, an opportunity to fill a CD-ROM with wacky slapstick energy.
And nothing else. Like it just animations, you are the common theme here. There's a little boy and you're presented with a series of buttons.
Yeah.
And you press one of them and something happens to the boy. And sometimes it's a subversion of what an object usually does.
Yeah.
You know, so like you use a hairdryer and it sets your hair, you know, your head on fire instead. And then the world just resets.
Yeah.
And you go through all the buttons until you find the button that brings you to the new zone.
Mm-hmm.
And you're presented with a new series of buttons to watch. I mean, like, I don't know. There's just, I didn't smile during this. I don't know what these animations are for. This is the kind of thing that like if a friend made it, I'd be like, oh, cool. Good job.
Yeah. Yeah.
But they're not my friend. It's not something I know. This is a game. I'm supposed to like, you know, or even if not a game, it's supposed to be an experience.
Yeah.
This feels very artless to me. I really hated this thing.
Yeah.
And I can imagine people who love it because it's got a
Mr. Mosquito appeal kind of thing, right?
Yes. It's got an appeal for some people. This was their first, and this is the, I'm using this as a term of art because I actually reject this as well. Their first wacky Japan thing.
Yeah.
You know, like we saw, it's so crazy and silly.
Yeah.
Isn't that Japanese? That's really reductive when people bring that up. It was a gateway though for a lot of people getting into stuff. Yeah. Like that is still a thing that people love.
Yeah.
Whether they want to admit it or not.
You are also, I think, giving a little bit more credit to the Sega CD for having sold copies. Like
that is true.
This was something that people like read about in EGM and then like later on in emulation or whatever, like they saw this as what a weird product that exists. Like I'm convinced that nobody who actually remembers this ever bought it, at least here stateside.
And so somebody had to have. It had to have gotten out somehow.
Yeah.
You know, made it out. Like reviewers bought it, got reviewed at the time. Mm-hmm. Things like that. It's not that interesting of a product.
Yeah.
Like it's interesting in the ways it fails, but it's not, I don't know. It just like it reminds me, I talked about Work Time Fun for the PSP.
Yeah.
Incredible Crisis for the PS1. Mm-hmm. There are games that I think invoke, and this is even putting aside something like Katamari, right?
Yeah.
This kind of spirit of creativity and still manage to be cool in a game and have a lot more art to it than this.
Yeah. Yeah. So like this is like a lot of this, like, you know, I smiled at a few of the things because I was like, oh, I wouldn't have thought to do that if I was. It's just like, what if you took like the imagery of a WarioWare, but took away the thing that makes WarioWare a very interesting game, which is you have to figure out within a few seconds what the mechanic of this is with just one word, description or command, and then what you see in front of you, right?
Yeah, like, it just watching the animations of the end of WarioWare games.
Uh-huh.
In a loop.
Yeah.
Like, you pull the nose hair out of this guy and he cries.
Yeah.
Then you pull the nose hair out of him and like his eye falls out and rolls across the bottom of the floor.
Mm-hmm. It's just that. There is you are going through like a maze. Like you can go on to GameFAQs and see like the structure of the scenes. And there are a lot of them. Mm-hmm. Eventually you're trying to get to like, you're a little boy trying to get to the center of the internet to install a cure for this virus that has made all machines in the world start malfunctioning, which is presented in the intro, which is you know, you sent me the image, is the real crust. It's the most crusty, what the hell was that kind of thing?
The hell was that? Yeah. It's noteworthy that, like, and if you look on GameFAQs, the big walkthrough, the number one was written by a games journalist.
Yes.
Who did this. It's a guy who wrote for GameShark.com. Mm-hmm. So it just has that feeling of being like somebody's pet thing.
Yeah.
You know, Panic is one of those games that you can tell instantly has its roots in Japan. Bizarre humor, goofy animations, and some funny in-manual translations all add to the game's uniqueness and stuff. It just, that all that stuff always feels like fetishism and infantilization to me.
Yeah.
You know, it's weird. Mm-hmm. It gives me the ick.
Yeah.
Yeah, as a thing. And it feels like a game that is to be liked in a way that gives me the ick.
Yeah.
So, and impossible to fucking talk about, because, like, what is there to say other than, like, I pushed a button and instead of the door opening, it fell down.
Yeah.
Like, they're all just, like, joke-terminating sentences.
Yep.
You know? Like, there's, yeah, what if? Like, my answer to everything that happens in this game is, yeah, what if?
Yeah.
What if, huh? What if?
What if? No, the world resets and then you press, you with no information, just have to remember not to press that button anymore and then find the right one. And finding the right one, like succeeding in this, is also boring because your guy just disappears and you move on to the next screen.
Thing that's ever been, that was interesting, because I played this for a while to be like, you know, I had a real Pointer Brothers. Mm-hmm. You're like, oh, that can't be what this is. Mm-hmm. And then once I realized it was, I had a Let's Play, you know, I watched.
Yeah.
And one of them, he drinks potions and he grows two tits. And then he just starts, and that's weird. Like, this little kid grows, like, you know, big naturals, big unnaturals, I guess. And then the just keeps growing them over parts of his body.
He just blooms tits in different spaces.
I kind of like that as an image.
Yeah.
But anytime you get kind of hooked on something like that, and then just disappears, the next one, he changes color.
Yeah.
You know, he's green now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's no like escalation and there's no editing to which one of these are worth doing, I guess.
Right. This is something where I am absolutely sure it was more fun to make than it was for anybody to play, right? Yeah. Like, imagining being in this room and saying, all right, we've got a drawing of a Frankenstein monster. What are the ways that this could go wrong? And then just pitching and then implementing. That sounds fun to me, but it is not hooked up to any kind of meaningful gameplay, like almost every other example of the, you know, like, oh, this is really wacky Japan stuff.
Yeah.
You know, like, is, right? Like, LSD dream emulator, like, that is a walking sim that feels meaningful. It is meant
to induce, it does art.
Yeah.
Like, that is artful, you know. And you take something like Incredible Crisis, there's a series of mini games to it. It tells a little bit of a story, has a real banger soundtrack.
Yeah.
You know, these things that kind of, and Work Time Fun, you can argue, is the idea of taking mundane office things and making your own fun.
Yeah.
You know, doing it in a way that we've all related to. Like, there's just an artfulness to it.
Yeah.
I think that if I were in the pitch meeting and they said, you know, I quantum leap into one of the guys in that meeting, and they pull down a sheet and they're like, there's a picture of a cartoon Frankenstein. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, okay, we need your best ideas for what could go wrong with this. Every single thing I would say, before I would say it out loud, I would say, that's not good enough. All of these things are not good enough.
Yeah.
Like, saying, like, oh, his head falls off. Oh, he gets really tall. Uh-huh. Oh, you know, he plugs his hand into a light socket and turns the light on.
Uh-huh.
The bolts fall out of his neck and he, you know, crumbles into dust and a dustpan sweeps away. All of them are not good enough.
Yeah.
All I could think of during this entire thing was try harder.
Uh-huh.
And I hate that feeling.
Yeah.
Like, no, you can do better than that. Like, and it just feels like, even if it was fun just to come up as an exercise, like, how many different things could I think of?
Mm-hmm.
It's not that I wouldn't publish it.
Yeah. Oh, you know, God, no.
Yeah, I can't think of anything. I can't think of a thing that can happen to a Frankenstein, any Frankenstein, that if it just happens is worth it on its own.
Right.
In a vacuum.
Yeah.
I did get to hear the Sega CD opening jingle music.
You know, that is a good time for the few seconds that it lasts.
Yeah. That's really good.
Yeah.
That's fucking sick.
We used to know how to make turning on a console into an experience.
Now it's, you know what it is now? Now it's your controller needs to update.
Yep. You know?
Do you want to plug it into it now instead of playing a game? Or do you want to put it off? Because you can put it off as long as you like.
Yeah. Just they're like they're just like there are people growing up who do not know that they are missing having the PlayStation startup sound.
Yes.
Just burned into their heads. Like the experience of, oh no, the TV's up too loud when I started this. Yeah.
And just like a Pavlovian, like, you're in for a good time.
Yeah.
Like that was such a good feeling. Like, oh yeah, it's time to go. This is good. It is time to do some gaming, my gamers. Mm-hmm. That is a good feeling. The Konami sound on Super Nintendo, Capcom sound, like all of which were just like, buckle up, motherfucker.
Yeah.
Time to go. I miss that so much.
Yes, that is crass branding or, you know, whatever. But like, I've got those associations. I can't go in there and take them out. The fact that your first, you nailed something there, Gary. The fact that your first impression upon turning on a system is you need to update your controller. Like you lost something. Even in the Xbox 360 days, we had that.
Yeah. What did they take from us? You know, it even happens on Switch, like just that, you know, I try my Switch is only a portable console for me and just, you know, there's a system update. It won't take long. Would you like to do that instead of playing a game? We understand if you don't.
Yeah.
I was like, no, you know what? I turned this on to play a game. I didn't turn this on to watch an update.
Yeah.
You know, the update's not going to do anything for me.
Nope.
You know, there's literally no universe in which it could make a thing better.
Mm-hmm.
It's very bleak. And I'd rather have a jingle that at least like somebody wrote. You know,
yes.
I crave art.
Mm-hmm.
Like in this thing makes me feel like I am just starving. There's a breathness of artfulness.
Yeah.
In these experiences. Not this one, because I mean, not the opening of this one, this actual game, but the common thread being need art, want art.
Yes. Yeah.
You know,
I see opportunities for cool stuff with this, and the opportunity is kind of squandered.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We should come up with, when somebody logs onto the Patreon, a little jingle like that.
Oh, yeah.
Can you imagine how the Patreon would soar?
I don't know about, okay. So this would be extra work for Gwen. What if on the Patreon version, like our premium episodes, there was like a little like sound like at the start to let you know. Yeah, just like a little ba-ding. You know, just
it can't
like
be a ding, because we got the beep now. It's got to be like a GameCube, you know, or like a jingle.
Yeah. It like needs to be like just a little jingle that says like, hey, you gave us some money. Here are the good feelings.
Yeah. Buckle up. Mm-hmm. It's time to have fun.
Yeah.
Can you imagine if you opened a fridge and it was outside instead of inside of a fridge?
Mm-hmm.
You can? Okay. Sorry. Sorry. I said that. You can imagine that? Okay. Sorry.
Yeah. What if when you turned on a projector, the background sucked into it like a vacuum and suddenly you were in a void?
Oh, you can imagine that? You don't need to see it? I'm sorry. I just feel like you should be like fucking apologizing to me constantly. Like, okay, you're good, right? You're good? You don't need to see this? Okay.
Okay. Yeah.
You open up a window, but the whole wall goes up? Okay.
You can
imagine that in a cartoon? Yeah. Yes. Mm-hmm. Okay. I'll go.
Yeah.
Sorry. I didn't mean to waste your time. I'll go.
Yeah.
Thank you for your time. I'll leave a card. If you want to buy Panic later, you can.
Yeah.
No feelings either way.
That was, so like the thing we're talking about with the startup sound, that was a little bit of the concept with the Monster of My Podcast opening.
Yeah.
With Nick saying, and then like the little boops, like the little jingle. Like I wanted it to feel like you're opening up a Pokedex, right?
Yeah. Yeah. That's I was going for a speak and spell.
Yeah,
thing. Like I wrote that thing. It's funny. Uh-huh. Somebody, I can't remember who it was, and they didn't mean anything bad by it. I'm not talking shit. But somebody came at me kind of hard, saying that it should be a Dragon Quest random encounter noise.
Yeah.
But then I can't remember who it was, and I have no feelings about it. It stuck in my memory because I was like, no, you're going for a different thing. Like an electronic dictionary, not and that was because even early on, we wanted to have the ability to do things other than monsters.
Yes.
You know, at some point we wanted to be able to pivot, even though we never ultimately did.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But that is a very similar idea.
Mm-hmm.
You're booting up a little electronic doodad.
Yeah.
Yeah. Can you imagine if a tree gave cunnilingus advice? Oh, you can? Okay. Well, I'm sorry.
Yeah, we can dispense with this. It's fine.
Yeah. It's cool. You know, if you can already imagine it, it's fine.
Go about your business.
Yeah, go about your business. We're sorry to bother you. Like is a thing. I hate that it's called panic.
Yeah,
like that implies so much energy.
Yes,
you know, to it, like that implies like courier crisis or something. Like
mm-hmm.
there should be more to this. Your little guy I was surprised when I first started this and watched that opening and saw that it was actually Japanese, because I thought it looked like a little French cartoon.
Oh, he does. Yeah.
Right? Yeah. I was like, oh, this is going to be like a little French kid who like chases balloons or something.
Yeah.
You know, it's going to be one of those.
The thing that that movie did to the entire cultural like impression of France, that fucking movie.
Yeah.
That all of us were made to watch. Yeah.
Yeah. They chase balloons. To their detriment sometimes.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's what we got. It's only by the grace that balloons do not go off cliffs that there is a modern France, is my understanding from my childhood.
Yeah. They were hanging on by a fingernail there for a little while.
The princes keep getting more petite. The princes keep getting more petite until they become vanishingly small.
Yep.
You know, so that's why they no longer have a monarchy.
Mm-hmm.
The incredibly petite prince, that's how they got Macron.
Yep.
And the revolution. That's what I know, basically.
Yeah, that's all guillotines. That I know. Yeah, the red balloon and the guillotine. That's how it got loose.
Oh, the red balloon and the guillotine is my favorite Noah Baumbach movie. Yeah.
The little boy you play as. Like, so like it being called Panic implies that there's a lot of energy. You cannot achieve that kind of energy, in a game that's about pressing buttons and seeing things, not doing things, but also in a format where you have to wait for the CD load time to go.
Yeah, that is true as well.
Yeah.
And because like imagine this on the Sega CD, sitting down to play this has such intention to it.
Yeah.
You know, it's like putting in a little Sega CD and watching that little spin up. And everything, it's like putting on a vinyl.
Yeah.
Kind of thing. It feels like that, or like putting in, you know, it feels like outmoded media.
Everybody stop everything. Like here, it's time to panic.
Yeah. You know, it's not, oh shit, man. Better watch out. It's time to panic. Mm-hmm. Oh, there's an exclamation point. Oh my God.
Oh boy.
There's regional differences in this. There's a PS2 version as well.
Yes.
And looking on the cutting room floor, there's a scene where all these big monuments collapse in it. Like a Statue of Liberty, the pyramids, stuff like that.
Uh-huh.
In the PS2 version, they turn into shit.
Okay.
They transform into shit. And then at some point, a dung beetle rolls them into a black hole. That flushes them down the toilet. So that's the Statue of Liberty and the Pyramids of Giza and shit.
That feels more disrespectful to me.
It does feel more disrespectful than just blowing up. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like turning into feces.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. No causality, though. Just kind of like, okay. What if?
There were ones that were deleted from the American version because of sensitivity around depicting cigarette machines. So like that was a whole scene that was cut.
Yeah. The one where you grow boobs on every surface is fine.
Yeah.
Apparently. Americans are sensitive to the lack of that.
Turn into a literal Resident Evil 6 mini boss.
Yeah. Yeah. God. Yeah. Yeah. Just like a bunch of boobies.
Yeah. This is depressing.
I found this depressing. I found this put me in a bad mood.
Yeah,
as a thing, and part of it just existentially. Like I was just like, oh man, people who find this fun, they're they really find it fun. They're like, oh, it's just cool. It's what's silly. Uh-huh. Yeah. And I'm just like, no. Try harder. No.
Yeah, a lot of that is just being happy that something exists, I think.
Yeah.
Not, I don't know. I'm telling people their business. Maybe they do. Maybe they did play and enjoy that. I just associate that with like, they did this, as opposed to I have engaged with this in a meaningful and lengthy way and came away from it with an appreciation.
Yeah. I think that like my tolerance for trifles is not necessarily lower, but it is for things that seem high effort.
Yeah.
Like if somebody just did this as like a flash animation or something like that, that's fine. This is webisode.
Yeah.
But putting this on a disc, to me, communicates a level of commitment.
Yeah. I was playing this and I was thinking, you know, you got buttons. Like if this was just a phone app, like if this was somebody's like, you know, just a basic, you know, I'm an animator. I want to animate a bunch of stuff and have like a game shaped thing where that happens. Yeah. Make this into a $2.99 app. I'll download it.
Poke and like around. If you a little bit of gameplay would go so far. Like if you played the iPhone game, this isn't a game or there is no game. Do you know that one?
There is no, I have not.
It's fun. It's like kind of a version of this with a narrator, like an antagonistic narrator.
Okay.
And it does a little bit of the outside the box thinking iPhone game where like you have to click on, you know, it says click the exit and you have to click exit's part of another word.
Oh, yeah.
Like that kind of thing. I mean, I'm just trying to think of an example off the top of my head.
Uh-huh.
But it's kind of funny. It's short. The first one's mm-hmm. free. Like, it's worth your time. Okay. It's kind of an ideal version of this to me.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I'll download that. I'll download
it. It takes, like, no time. Yeah. Or, like, Hidden My Game by Mom.
I love Hidden My Game by Mom. That is a great example of what this is going for.
Yeah, I love Hidden My Game by Mom. Mm-hmm. Like, it's funny. There's art to it.
Yeah.
You know, it's surprising.
Mm-hmm.
You know, yeah, just, yeah. There's potential.
like it sets up tension. You do, like, just the you do anticipate the ways in which the mom is going to appear on the screen.
Mm-hmm. And, yeah. And it's funny.
Yeah.
Like, it genuinely has jokes that aren't just, like, what if a tree fell down?
Yeah.
It's not a joke. That's a fucking Lorax.
Mm-hmm. So
that's like, Lorax. That's a joke.
So I hope that by, like, naming a bunch of stuff like this that we do appreciate, we do get a little bit of distance from the stick in the mudness, right? Like, this is a bad example of something that can be sublime.
Yes. You know, sublime stuff, but something that could be worthy of doing.
I guess, yeah.
Like, you know, so something that I think justifies its existence.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is my big problem with this, is I don't feel like it does.
Yeah. I use that word, obviously. It's a little bit, it is hyperbolic, but, like, I don't know, WarioWare, like that is a definitional video game to me. That is a solid unit of video game.
It's different. Part of the reason why this is weird, and there might be a cross-cultural thing, is that this was a collaboration with the theatrical group Wahaha Hampo. And maybe if you're a huge Wahaha Hampo head, this hits harder.
Yeah. If you were tuned into their frequency.
It's got a lot of comparisons to Monty Python. And not the Monty Python parts where, like, there are words, but the parts mm-hmm. where, like, a gigantic foot of Queen Victoria stomps on a dirigible.
Right. Like the Terry Gilliam stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Half of Monty Python by volume, where it's just like, what if a cutout of the Taj Mahal landed on top of Big Ben?
Yeah. Ooh.
What if? Can you imagine that? Oh, you can? Sorry. Oh, sorry.
Okay,
I'll go make movies. I'm going to make scary ass movies. Nobody's going to like them for a long time. I'm going to get Man of La Mancha made. Sorry.
by speaking this into existence? Yeah.
Jeez.
Turns out that's enough. Shit.
Yeah.
Oh, well.
Oh, well. You know, it's fine.
It's no, over, it's not.
Old. It's not good. It's old.
Yeah.
The newest version of this came out in 2002. It's hard to be mm-hmm. mad at. A lot of bad things have happened since 2002. You know,
we have bigger things to worry about than the waste of potential of panic. Yeah.
Yeah. Panic is a low priority threat on uh-huh. the American radar right now.
Yeah. I pray for the day when we can focus on panic.
Yeah. Gotta be a dream.
Mm.
You know? Just, but as is, it's, I don't know. I appreciate everyone putting this in the suggestion box. Don't make anybody feel bad for that. It does seem uh-huh. on the surface like something kind of interesting.
Yeah.
And maybe an earlier version of Abject Suffering where we hadn't done the manhole likes at all.
Yeah.
And, like, kind of had as much experience with this. Might have felt a little different.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. We've seen too much.
Yeah. It happens. We're event horizoned.
Yeah.
You know, all right. We don't have eyelids when it comes to this stuff.
Yeah.
Oops. No eyelids.
Sorry.
Yeah. That's fun. Not all eyelids. No eyelids.
None at all.
What if your eyelids kept going?
In which direction?
I'm going to say down.
Okay.
So they cover your whole face.
Oh,
right?
So, like a hood, like a flesh hood, like that, like wouldn't you suffocate? I can't say.
I'm just throwing out questions. Oh, you can imagine that? Sorry. you know what that'd be? Apologies. Sorry for wasting your time.
So you're proposing that natural selection at some point would have given us the monolid.
Yeah, the monolid allows, animals to thrive.
Yeah.
Because the monolid is so hot that only those are the people who breed. If it went up, you wouldn't suffocate.
Well, yeah. But what you're proposing is like humanity as a kind of demon of song.
Yes. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, that is a really good example for like big eyelid.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that is what I'm thinking about.
Yeah. You probably
breathe.
I don't know. Yeah. There's a lot about that guy that I don't understand.
Yeah. He's a lot of questions there, the demon song.
I don't know. Yeah.
We're recording this right before Duckstream.
We are.
I'm so fucking
spent, Gary.
Yeah. It's funny. It's again that kind of stick in the mud feeling I'm wrestling with internally, is that like this is a very fun thing. It's a good thing to do. I'm really tired and feral for break.
Yeah.
Like I just want to, like, I will enjoy it. It's a good cause. I love that I get to do it. I can't wait to be done with it.
It's how I feel right before I go, like right before a live show, like traveling to go for a live show, where it's like, once I get there, like once I'm in the middle of it, it is going to be so fun and I'm going to bring my all. But like right now I am, you know, in the, like, what if there was some reason we couldn't do it?
Yeah. It's the canceling plans thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, it just feels good.
And I absolutely don't believe that. I do not want.
No, it would be monstrous to do so.
Yeah.
And I would miss it.
Uh-huh.
You know, I would not be okay with it if we just didn't do it. It would feel bad. Yeah. I just, man, boy, it just does sound kind of nice to not do anything.
Yeah.
That's because we're coming up a winter break.
This
happens every year. If we did this game in January, mm-hmm. it's possible we've both been like, this fucking is hilarious.
Yes.
Like you open a drawer and instead of there being like office supplies in there, there's food.
Mm-hmm.
I fucking was rolling. Like I was a ruffled copter.
I was a ruffled copter.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. And that would have started a whole digression about like, you know, just like, oh no, what a nightmare if just like there was food hidden in your house and you didn't know and you stumbled across it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We would have made hay out of it. But right now, at the end of our ropes, this is just not good enough.
Yeah. I'm preserving my power for this weekend. Yeah.
Yeah. Our vital energies.
Yeah. And people are listening to this saying, what the fuck are you two talking about? It is January.
Yeah. It's not for us.
Yeah.
But we still appreciate you.
Or no. This is right before New Year. So everybody's in break. So are we. Yes, this is coming out. So you know.
Thanks for joining us on Duckstream. I assume you did.
Yeah.
Thank you for listening. If you'd like to support us and hear a bunch more episodes of this, some of which are not for glorified screensavers, go to patreon.com/duckfeedtv. $5 a month gets you all those.
Yes, in addition to whole bonus shows, including Unfilmable, a show that we really like doing about horror movies.
Yeah. What else? You can leave us ratings and reviews.
We'd like it if you could. Yeah,
that's nice. You can join us in thanking Gwen.
Mm-hmm.
Big thanks to Gwen.
Thank you, Gwen. Yeah.
You know, this is about it. You know, have a good New Year.
Yeah, have a good New Year. Be safe. That's it. And until next time, this has been Abject Suffering, the only show that recognizes all pronouns as well as all amateur nouns.
I like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And all they ever do is do their pronouns.
Yeah, I like amateur nouns.
Yeah.
You know, like, thing.
Just waiting for their shot at the big league.